Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But this little dink ball, no one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest.
Why do you not do many interviews?
Oh, really? Yeah, I wouldn't be asked to do a whole pile.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
And they're roaring to me, "Hey, Cuffrey, you free state bastard." And next thing I hear, "You have no fucking jurisdiction up here."
Little bit of Philomena Begley there, Colm, to start off the show with. Get us all in the mood after Tyrone winning. Come on, Tyrone. You're not blessed with the greatest songs, but in fairness, you're blessed with a brilliant team and deserving All-Ireland champions. I don't think anyone can take that away from you.
Yeah, no, the song choices, I think, over the last few days have been interesting. But yeah, I've been following a lot of it on social media and the guys are getting into the tune of it. So yeah, look, it's a fantastic achievement for this group of players, and just seeing what the overriding emotion has been in the county and the homecomings in the last day or so has just been, yeah, it's been mental. It's been crazy the last 24, 48 hours.
Arguably the hardest knockout championship ever won, Alan, if you're to look through it. Cavan reigning Ulster champions, Donegal, a lot of people's tips. They were underdogs in a lot of these games. Then Monaghan, then Kerry and Mayo. Like, I mean, you know, it doesn't get any tougher than that in a knockout.
Yeah, they've done it the hard way. And I suppose winning games like that against opposition like that kind of breeds momentum and confidence and all those good things. And you could see that coming to the fore yesterday there on Saturday evening. They were by far the more confident team out in the field. Their play was more cohesive. They kicked the better scores. They finished their goal chances very well. And thoroughly deserving All-Ireland winners.
Yeah, there's something about them in All-Ireland finals. I think Fergal Logan was saying after the match, "My starting ambition, without declaring it to Brian, was to win one match." I like the way he says he would never tell Brian Dewar that he'd be in bother. Like, I mean, but that were the ambitions when they took over, Colm.
Yeah, look, they came in at a very difficult time. You know, with the whole COVID piece coming along, and I say there was obviously difficulties in terms of meeting up and gathering momentum with an actual and building a team, and they had new players in and out. You know, they let some guys go for who had been there for a few years. They brought in new lads, and you know, we could see probably glimpses of that throughout the league and whatnot, where their performances probably weren't at their best. You know, it was taking them a wee bit of time to gather momentum, gather that sort of team feeling. But I don't think there was any. I don't think there was any sort of doubt, really, in a lot of the thrown people's heads throughout the year that there was a good quality and good panel there. And yeah, winning one match was probably a very, very soft ambition for them, like, because they have so much talent there. And like, have we seen the championship grow, their performances improved, and you know, you could just see something was brewing. And I said it probably early out, and you know, and whenever they beat Donegal, I was going, there's something really good, you know, brewing to this team. And yeah, look, it just peaked at the right time, effectively. I think, you know, their performances in the league were sort of up and down, and obviously they took the tanking in the Killarney and that, but you know, sometimes getting it right later on in the year is far more important than starting off really well.
Yeah. Brian Duer, I like the way he was afraid to tell Brian Duer this, because I'd say Brian Duer was thinking All-Ireland. Logan was thinking, you know, like, let's win a game. Duer's just a serial winner, though. Three All-Irelands as a player, two as captain, under 21 All-Ireland winning manager, now senior All-Ireland winning manager. Like, I mean, outside of Peter Canavan, he's, you know, Tyrone's greatest export, surely.
Yeah, there might be an argument to be made. He is Tyrone's greatest export. Like, obviously knowing Brian Duer, having seen him play, playing against him, he's the sort of fella, and Colin will obviously know more about this than I do, but he's the sort of fella that you'd follow to hell and back. You can see that, and you can see that the players will run through walls from him. And like as Colin said, it probably has taken him a few months over the course of the National League to start to get things together. Maybe couldn't meet as much as they would have liked. And kind of sometimes you need a couple of beatings to learn a few lessons and to change things up a little bit, right? That part of it's not working, we need to change that. And like you could see the kick passing game coming to the fore yesterday, obviously most notably for Cathal McShane's goal. But look, Brian Duer, he's been such a great servant to Tyrone football, and what he's delivered now will etch him into the legend category if he wasn't there already forever.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Let's talk about these goals then, Colm, the two Tyrone goals, because goals win games, as you always know, and that analysis holds firm for this All-Ireland final. Like, the goals did win games. Like, I mean, the first goal, Myler, like, you don't associate Tyrone with that. Like, it was a 50-50 ball, a floater, McShane had pointed, but in fairness to McShane, that wasn't as easy a goal as he made it look.
It was ridiculously difficult starting with a kick, yeah. Like, we've talked on the show previous weeks gone by that, like, I remember Hamsey taking a few pot shots in long kick passes and it didn't come off. I remember saying, look, this is very unlike Tyrone over there. They are starting to express themselves a bit more and deliver these passes, which we have never done in the past. So for Myler to even take that on, not probably one of our best kick passers, no disrespect to him. There's obviously, but he was having a great day. McShane had pointed, but McShane, the way he actually executed was absolutely brilliant, because, you know,
it was nonchalant, wasn't it?
The top. And he sort of twisted his body a wee bit, and just the way he dipped with the arm and was able to connect with it, such a clean connection was brilliant. Like, but look, it was just, that was something that probably we would never have took on, and it was just great to see. And McShane, yeah, look, what can we say about him? Like, he's come on again, and you know, immediate impact. So it was a big risk probably not starting him. I was sort of thinking, you know, can we unleash him early on and start him and let's see how he goes, because it's a big risk in All-Ireland final. But look, the guy stuck with their game plan of making that impact and finishing was stronger. But yeah, he made the difference with the goal.
Yeah, he definitely did. Where was Henley going? You know, suppose how many times do we see goalkeepers coming out to challenge for them, ending up in no man's land? And if they stayed underlying, it's a handy enough save.
Yeah, to me it looked like it was a scuss. We'll probably never know, but like, I'd imagine it was a scuss when Cathal comes in. Let's put a couple of high balls in. Robbie Henley's record under a high ball would be a little bit suspect. And I could see him coming and I thought, don't let the defender deal with that. Don't go there. And he just came into no man's land.
He was tempted, yeah.
Yeah, he was tempted to go for it. He was coming or he's not coming. You can't come halfway. And he paid the price for it. Was sometimes as a goalkeeper you might get away with it, but it was such a smart finish from Cathal McShane that, look, he caught him out. Maybe if McShane had caught it, Robbie Henley would have been there to smother him, but because it was such a deft flick, he just caught him flat footed and he could do nothing about it at that stage once he was out in no man's land.
We were talking about what could Tyrone's siege mentality. You love a siege mentality. I was talking about it up in Tyrone last Thursday night, and Niall Morgan said before the goal, everyone said we can't get goals, and we got goals today that won us the game. So, like, I mean, Tyrone were obviously aware that this was being said. They scored one goal in three games in the Ulster Championship and then scored five goals in two games after the Ulster Championship. Obviously something they were working on and something they didn't like being said about them, Colm.
Yeah, quite possibly. Like, when you come to this stage of the year, and I think Tyrone sort of realised that they were going to need goals in these games to win them. You know, like, you look, Kerry were in the semi-final, were scoring heavily all year. Tyrone probably knew that they had to finish their chances. And we spoke around before, if they hadn't have been as clinical, if they had popped the ball over the bar and took their, you know, the handy ball and handy point, you know, they wouldn't have been in the position they're in. So it's no doubt it's something they've worked on, especially Alan said about, you know, probably chatting about whenever McShane comes on, get a few in them, because Mayo were brave. They were, you know, they were leaving spaces at the back. I even think it from the kickouts as well, where you know, they were pushed right up, and you know, them balls over the top ultimately were going to cause them problems. Like, so, but yeah, look, it's something that that Tyrone, and it's even glad to see like the Darren McCurry scores goal, because probably not known for his goal scoring, you know, always very heavy on the points, but. Look, just delighted to see that the, you know, that obviously the goals obviously did, there were the difference. Like, you know, Mayo missed two goal chances probably with the penalty and the one early on slid and cleared off the line, but Throne obviously took them, and you know, I sort of knew at that stage that it was in our favour.
Here, talk to me before we talk about the McCurry goal. Niall Morgan said on Cathal McShane after the game, he's a bit of an enigma. He's Marmite. People don't know how to take him at times. Me and him would have fights nearly every night at training. But I'll tell you one thing, he'll get a big kiss tonight. Is McShane like Marmite like that? I wouldn't have known that about him, Colin.
I know him and Morgan would be fighting probably in training quite regularly. You know, yeah, look, I remember coming off a pitch in 2018 and just before the All-Ireland final maybe, and we'd done a training session, and him and Niall Sludden cut lumps of each other after the training session, and the two of them were sharing a room with each other that same night. So yeah, look, obviously the two very passionate lads, like, and you know, just the way they carry themselves, demand high standards, so which can lead to probably a few arguments down the road. But you get that with any team, you get that with, I'm sure Alan will tell you, there's been plenty of rows in the Dublin camps as well over the years. So it's just that they're in that intense environment, and but yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, what about the McCurry goal, Alan? It's a thing of beauty. Like, I mean, how many times do we preach this on the show? Risk reward. Get it in. Look at the Myler pass. Like, it was a 50-50 ball, really. The players don't like giving. Look at the long kick out, a 50-50. Like, you know, that a lot of goalkeepers don't like giving. Look at the Kerry goalkeeper, Ryan, in the semi-final. Morgan went long, Kilpatrick, a beautiful catch, kind of coming at an angle, off to McKenna, who could have been taken off at this stage. He had a bit of a nightmare. And then the no-look pass was sensational. And I suppose Colm's often said in the show, that's what McKenna adds, a little bit of kind of brilliance. Even though he was having a nightmare, the no-look pass was sensational. And that goal, like, I mean, that was lights out, really.
Yeah, it was. And everything about it was perfect. I talk about the kick-out. Like, there's not many, if any goalkeepers have that kick-out in their locker. It was exceptional. And we talk about preparation on the training field. Like, Conor McKenna's, and I agree with you, he had a very bad start to the second half, and I was waiting for him to be called ashore, but it was definitely something they'd worked on the training ground. Like, that flick across, that's I don't even think it's an instinctive. I think it has to be worked on the training ground. I know at Dublin we worked on it for months and years, that pass across. And Dublin, like, if you look back, we got lots of palm goals in big games because of that. It's that extra pass that we're talking about, and we saw it in the semi-final with Stephen O'Brien's square ball where they gave the pass across and they messed it up, but that was just perfect. And I'm sure they'd identify it and say, after the Ulster Champs, right, we haven't scored enough goals, we need to start working on that. And I think that pass across from Conor McKenna, I think you'd find, we might never find out, but I think that was as a result of that work they'd done in training. And look, it was an easy finish for McCurry in the end, but the pass was exceptional from he didn't even look.
No.
Conor McKenna, he just flicked it across.
He must have seen out before,
the corner of his
eye,
and he was going at full belt. It was an amazing pass.
He must have had him caught before, you know, maybe three or four steps before, because he was not looking anywhere near him when he actually made the pass. He wasn't. McKenna was interviewed after a game. He says, I haven't been good all year. I've done bits and pieces where I've done well. Even today, I wasn't that good. So there's plenty of work to work on for myself. But it's not about me. It's about the team. I suppose that's the fair analysis on himself, Colm. You know, Conor McKenna hasn't been, you know, the player that he probably showed that he could have been last year. He didn't really have a good year, but he's still impacting games a little, you know, doing something special in a game, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fair analysis on himself, and I'm sure he's his own biggest critic on that. Like, but and I was thinking the same as Alan. I was going, is he going to get hooked here at some point, because he wasn't, you know, having that same impact. But we have spoken about it before, about what he brings. And look, the semi final, it wasn't his best game either, but he scored the goals and made the difference. And again, you have to keep somebody like that on the pitch. You know, no matter really what he's doing, if he's making mistakes and maybe not getting in, he works really incredibly hard as well. You know, people probably don't see that as much. He does actually work very hard. But there's moments in games where you want the likes of him being involved in a piece of play. And obviously the Kilpatrick catch and him flicked off to him, he made that burst. And obviously, like other people, again, he could have shot, he could have done something silly. He done the right thing at the right time. And again, that's a piece of brilliance in my eyes, that you know, your players will see that pass, and he, as you say, he probably wasn't even looking at him. He probably seen Darren in the corner of his eye and just continued on his run and knew he would be there. But as Alan said, that's a training ground exercise. That's one where you're looking at whenever teams are pressing you up, how do you get in behind them and how do you sort of punish them? And that was a textbook piece of play from it.
Another one that wasn't probably off the training ground was Darren McCurry's goal chance. That came for another risky long ball. Niall Morgan came out brilliantly and drove it down long. Conor McKenna got a little flick on it, or maybe he tried to catch it and McCurry was through. I keep saying it though, Alan, if you don't take chances and get the ball in, you know, things won't happen because you'll reach stalemates. That's been the analysis on the show the whole summer, and Tyrone showed how to do it. If you take risks, yes, they might not come off. Some of Morgan's long kickouts didn't, the longer ones didn't work. But you know, good things will happen if you're willing to take risks.
I think it's maybe where Dublin fell down this year. They kind of stopped taking those risks, and you could see Niall coming down. And to be fair to him again, like, there's not many outfield players would have had that kick pass in their locker, right? It was an exceptional pass, and you could see Conor McKenna was pointing over the top, and he got it over. It was a brilliant ball. But look, when you see those 2-on-2 opportunities, Niall obviously saw that, and he said, right, I'll just let it in here and see what happens. We have a big ball winner in there in Conor McKenna, and we've a good finisher in Darren McCurry. Let's let it in and see if they can win it. And Mayo didn't do a whole lot of that. I'm not sure if they let any balls in like that where they really got a 1-on-1 or a 2-on-2 situation. And like, as you say, and is it even that risky? Like, if he'd have kicked it in and they'd have lost it, they still had 13 men.
Yeah, well, it's a 50. It's probably 50-50 ball, and players don't like giving 50-50 balls. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, it's like, I suppose it's kind of the way the game has gone, the whole game management piece, and let's retain possession. But I think you'll find now, and that the game evolves all the time, when teams this year, including Dublin, have a look at Tyrone and say, right, what did Tyrone do different to us? They took risks that Dublin didn't take during the year this year, and they got the goals off them in probably the semi final and the final. Like, the goals came off long kicks, which maybe could have been turned over by Mayo defenders or whatever, but Mayo forwards. And it comes back to kind of one-on-one, can you win your own ball? And if you have forwards that can win your own ball, you're always going to have a chance with long balls like that going in.
Talking about winning your own ball, the Peter Hartmark column, that was vital, because Mayo kind of responded all right to the two goals. That was Tyrone's first point in the second half.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to take anything away from Petey here, because it was a brilliant mark and brilliant take, and Tyrone really needed that to get that. You know, obviously that was their first point in the half. But from a Mayo perspective, I would be very, very. I'm looking at it from a defensive point of view more so. Like, is it Durkin? I think goes up
Durkin,
to catch it,
Paddy Durkin, yeah.
And you're sort of going, you don't catch that. Like, you are breaking that ball away from Petey Hart, Matt. You know, and if he does that, by and large, you should have. Yeah, he's in to pick it up. Like, so look, I'm not taking away from Petey. It was a brilliant mark and a brilliant catch, because the two of them went up to go for it clean. But at the same time, the defender has to do so much better there. Like, that should be one where he's clearing his lines. But from a Tyrone point of view, I was delighted to see it. When I watched it back, I sort of thought, Jesus, that was a very important score for Tyrone at that time, and sort of summed Petey's afternoon up, because he had a fantastic game.
Yeah, he did an awful lot of work. We have to talk about the penalty miss, Alan. Like, why is he going for the top right-hand corner here? So, like, I mean, if you ever go in and do these skills challenges, or you're watching Soccer AM, or where you get points for kicking into goals, the top right is the highest. Like, it's harder. You get 2 points for top right. You might get 1 point for bottom right or bottom left. You get higher points for the two top corners because it's the harder penalty. Why would you choose to go for the harder penalty in an All-Ireland final? It makes no sense. The penalty there is Dermot Connolly on David Clark. It's a right-footed kicker. It's whacking at bottom, your bottom left. It's the go-to penalty when you're under a lot of pressure. And if you kick that hard enough into that bottom corner, no goalies get, like, even David Clark, who guessed right, couldn't get to Connolly. You know, that is the why choose a penalty with a higher degree of difficulty under that pressure?
Yeah, it was a strange choice, considering it was such a high pressure moment in the game, and kind of even the run up and stuff and the little sidestep and stuff. I'm not sure if that really works in Gaelic the same as it works in, like, a soccer goalkeeper tends to take a chance.
Yeah,
the goals
some goalies guess though, don't they?
Whereas I think a lot of Gaelic goalkeepers stand and wait to try and make a decision, whereas the soccer goalkeepers, the goal's a little bit bigger field, they have to they have to take a gamble on it. And you can see it didn't really fool Niall Morgan. He still went the right direction. Would he have saved it? Went to the top corner. He probably wouldn't have saved it. But as you said, it was very high risk. And yeah, like for me, I think in a game like that, you just pick a corner, you put it low and hard. And as a right foot kicker, I always found it's easier to put it in the left. When you're going with your right foot to go to right side, you have to open up your body a bit, and it just leaves a bit more room for error. And look, it struck the post. It was unfortunate, but it was a crucial moment in the game, and it was going to be a turning point either way. If you'd have got that goal there, Mayo were really back in it. And I think Colm O'Rourke said in the Sunday game last night, Mayo live off those kind of high emotional energy scores. And that would have been one of them at a real crucial stage of the game for Mayo to get a goal. Could have turned the tide in Mayo's favour, but obviously missing it. Like, you could see the game, even though they kind of stuck in it for a few minutes after that. You could see after they missed that, it was Tyrone's to lose at that stage.
Yeah, I think so. Like, do we give him credit for being a confident young fella, Colm, and going for that in an All-Ireland final, or do we criticise him?
I actually don't think he meant to go there in a weird way. Morgan, whenever he went to do the stutter step and sort of went to, you know, go on, I think he was expecting Morgan, you know, to go for it, to dive or to move, to really, you know, really quickly into one side, so he was just going to place it to the other side. Like, I don't take a lot of penalties, and I watched Morgan's, the way he was standing up and he was moving, and for Morgan ultimately to guess the right way in the end and adjust his body was brilliant for me. I think if you watch his movement back, it was brilliant from his point of view to stand up and really force him. But I think Morgan forced him to go there, because I don't think you set out, I don't know, I don't think he would have set out to go top right like that. Top right, that's a tough kick. I think because he was expecting Morgan to move to one side, so he could place it just in the bottom corner, and he really spooked him a wee bit, and then he just at that point had to hit it. So I still don't believe he would have set out to put it there. I think he just, whenever he stopped and he expected Morgan to move, and Morgan didn't really flinch at that stage, he panicked and he just hit it, and ultimately he missed. And yeah, I have to give Niall massive credit there, because I think the way the way he moved and how fast he was able to get there, as you say, he went the right side anyway, was brilliant.
I saw some people saying the penalty could have been retaken, Alan. Would have been harsh. Morgan did move before the kick, but like, it went wide. He didn't save it. Maybe if he'd saved it, he might have been under pressure.
Yeah, but you'd have to ask the question, does him encroach, like he did encroach off the line a couple of yards, does him encroaching off the line force Ryan O'Donoghue to make a decision? Okay, he's after narrowing down the angle a little bit there, I need to go high with it. But yeah, I didn't actually notice it in real time myself. It was only when I was watching it back, I saw God, he's moved off the line, because he actually started standing behind the line. But look, I suppose it's all history now. I suppose that's for the officials to pick up. They probably should pick. Could it have been a retake? Probably could have.
Yeah, probably could have. Here, let's talk about Mayo here quickly before we get into analysing the game. Like, I mean, I was saying after the game, Alan, that I always feel really sorry for Mayo after an All-Ireland final loss. Like, I didn't feel sorry for them after that at all. They had enough chances. It's kind of like they'll never get a better chance. They didn't perform on the day. And for a neutral, a lot of neutrals would have been rooting for them. Probably not too many neutrals would have, you know, felt the same sympathy maybe on them.
They'd probably be very upset down there now this year. They don't have Woolley's sympathy after losing.
No, but it's not about, they don't want people's sympathy.
No, of course not.
But like, you know, it's just that the natural feeling that towards the end they were kicking wides into the goalie's hands. It's like, they didn't deserve that.
No, they didn't. They lost all composure at the end of that. And look, like, I think, to be honest, right throughout the game, I thought Tyrone looked the more composed team. I thought they looked the better team. Like, Mayo, as they do, they'll always hang in there because they play so aggressively. They always create chances. But I thought Tyrone looked a better team throughout, and kind of right throughout, it looked to me like there was only was going to be one winner. And I was, like, it was funny because, like, you expect a lot from Mayo, and even listening to James Horan after the match, he said, look, we weren't happy with how we played. We hadn't got that usual energy that we play with. And you could see that for whatever reason that was. Maybe it was the weight of expectation. They were coming into this, right? This is actually, Dublin are gone. Kerry are gone. We're playing a Tyrone team who nobody really fancied this year. This is it for us now. We can't lose this one, and that sort of expectation kind of, and then a lot of hype down around Mayo. I spoke
a lot of overconfidence maybe coming from them. They seem to be sure, you know, pretty certain they'd win it.
Yeah, possibly overconfidence, but like, even ex-players talking and stuff, like for me as an ex-player, when Dublin are in it, you're doing your best to talk it down, not add to the hype that's going around the place. And I think, I'd imagine down in Mayo that everyone's back home and stuff, that it's hard for the players to insulate themselves from that. And maybe, look, I don't know, maybe that got in on them a little bit, but they certainly didn't look like the usual usual Mayo team. It's certainly not the Mayo team that we saw in the second half against Dublin, full of confidence, playing their running game, kicking scores. I suppose maybe they maybe not as bad as Kerry, but they did run it down some dark alleys at stages. Probably didn't use the kicking game as much, as I said. Like, we didn't see anything from Mayo like we saw from McShane's goal, or even the chance McCurdy got from Niall Morgan's long kick pass in the first half. And maybe they just needed to change their game up a little bit, and didn't really look like they were capable of doing that at any stage.
The problem for this team now, Colm, is, you know, the talk, we don't have the baggage of other teams. They've their own baggage now. It's two All-Ireland final losses in a row, you know, losing to Dublin, then losing to Tyrone, and not showing up on the day. And it just seems like, here we go again. Like, at what stage are they going to go to an All-Ireland final, take the game by the scruff of the neck that they're supposed to win, and actually go on and win it? You know, like, I mean, you'd almost get tired of this from them.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I'm sure it's very, very hard for them to keep coming back and repeating the same story year on year. And, like, I do have a wee bit of, I don't know, they want my sympathy, but, like, you do have it. Like, you know, you're sort of watching that game at the weekend, and again, the goals, again, if they take any of them chances, it's a different game. I think Tyrone were far more composed. You've seen Mayo near the end of the game, and yeah, look, they were kicking, they were snapping at shots. They'd lost all running themselves, and said, like you talked about earlier, they sort of thrive in that high intensity pace, and it wasn't there. Tyrone were controlling the game, I felt, and like they were getting scores a lot easier and that, and yeah, maybe there was that weight of expectation on them where they just, you know, they weren't willing to take them risks. The fact you nearly get, whenever you come into a game like that, what you think you're going to win, in a way you probably do, you sort of revert back to being a wee bit cautious as such. The winning of the Dublin game, probably thinking, well, if we can beat, like, we'll just throw around at Dublin here and see what happens. And there's no real pressure on us. But as we said there, like, it did look like they have that they weighed a lot of pressure on their shoulders. And you know, a lot of their individuals didn't perform really on the day, you know, but with the exceptions of Alexi Keegan and whatnot, like, who really did start driving them back on whatever Tyrone were on top, like, but just too many performances that, you know, too many guys didn't come to the party on the big day and they didn't take their chances. So yeah, it's hard to keep repeating that, unfortunately for them, but look, they're still a fairly obviously a fairly young team, and you know, I've no doubt they will come back again next year and have another good crack at it.
They will come back, but will they ever win one? Like, I don't think they will. Like, it must be a mentality thing that they can't show up at the final, that they can't take those chances when they present themselves. When Tyrone can, Tyrone are winners. They've won three All-Irelands. Like, they have the mentality. Do Mayo have the mentality? Because they say they might not have handled the pressure. That pressure is always going to be there. That expectation is always going to be there. The county's going to lose its mind every, you know, year they're in the final, Alan. So, like, the build-up is always going to be the same. So, like, why can't they show up on a day like that and actually seal the deal?
Yeah, I think this one will hurt them a lot. I think having beaten Dublin and coming in against Tyrone, and like at home in Mayo, I'm sure in previous years they were coming up to play a very fancy Dublin team and maybe wouldn't have expected to win. I think yesterday they expected to win, and now the whole county, I'd imagine including the players, are wondering, where do we go from here? But look, all you can do, like I lost lots of games, lost four semi-finals, all you can do is look at it, and they probably need to have a real cold hard look at how they prepared for it, what went wrong on the day. The management probably need to look at the game plan. How can we run it so much when we know Tyrone swallowed that up? Why didn't we have a better kicking game? The use of Aidan O'Shea, they played him out around the middle, didn't really use him in a full forward. Where is he playing? We spoke about it last week. What did he do with Aidan O'Shea? It looked like, again, they weren't really sure, and you'd feel a bit sorry for Aidan O'Shea, because he's gone from full forward out to midfield. Like, it's difficult to move around in a game like that coming out when he's probably suffering a little bit of confidence loss off the back of the last game, and it looked like he struggled a bit yesterday. But look, all you can do is have a cold hard look at it and come back again next year, and someday you hope it'll break for you. Like, there's no magic answer to that question, Woody, that we need to do this and we'll win a final next year. You just need to come back and start the process again and you try and eliminate the mistakes that you made this year.
But, like, I mean, you were nearly men under a pillar, probably, losing a lot of semi-finals. And even under Pat the first year, and, like, I would have been a bit similar to how I'm feeling about Mayo now. Like, I'd given up on you. I was like, I'm not, you know, because I'd be rooting for you. I kind of had given up on you. But the minute you got your chance in the final, you took it. Do you know, like, they're Aidan O'Shea's played seven All-Ireland finals now. They're not taking it at this stage.
No, they're not. And I suppose our whole like when Pat Gilroy came in, he continued to play the way Pillar played, and we shipped a big defeat against Kerry in 09. And then he changed the way we played. It all focused on our defending. It all focused on building the structure from the back. And I'm not sure if it's like you see the goals yesterday, they got caught with the long kick out. Like, I still don't see Mayo playing with a real solid defensive structure in place. And like, it'll be fine against some of the weaker teams, probably most of the Connacht Championship. But when they come up against the really good teams, the really good offensive teams that are smart enough, Niall Morgan, smart enough to look for that long kick out, and then there's runners coming off Conn Kilpatrick. When they come up against someone like that, they look like they struggle. And I think they really do need to go back to basics, tear up the way they're playing now, and have a look at the whole game plan again, because they need to sort themselves out from the defence back. They've conceded two goals again in an All-Ireland final, which have cost them the game. Obviously haven't finished their chances up front. So you talk about Tyrone scoring goals in the All-Ireland series, 5 goals compared to 1. That's something that was obviously worked on, was identified. We have a problem here. We're not scoring enough goals. They worked on it, and all of a sudden they started to score goals. Like, even Tommy Conroy coming in for his chance yesterday, like he lost composure. He had yards in front of him, and he shot from the edge of the 14-yard box, which was a very difficult chance against a keeper of Niall Morgan's quality. If he'd have taken in a couple of yards, it was a much easier chance for him. But he lacked a bit of composure when he got one-on-one as well. So it's things like that they need to look at.
That's the difference. Poor Aidan O'Shea always gets the brunt of the criticism. He's been trending on Twitter for the last 2 days. Always unfortunate on him. Like, they don't use him to his strengths, like the Myler ball to McShane. He gets no floaters where he can actually attack it. Like, he gets kind of ball that a small forward gets, and he's running out with his back to goal, and he has his confidence is shot in their column. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. Like, his confidence from a shooting point of view, like, he's at the top of the D on his good side, and he misses that, and now that's deflating on the team. It's hard to know what to do with him. Like, I mean, you're either going to use him as a big man, target man, or don't use him at all. Because if you're giving him normal ball, you know, he's not a good forward in that regard, you know. And if he's getting the ball, winning it and trying to pop it off, you know, where are the runners off him? Like, if you're going to play him in full forward, you have to have a game plan around getting the best out of him. I don't think they do. They play him as an orthodox kind of forward, and he's nowhere near that. He looks complete like a fish out of water in there when he's trying to kick scores. And, you know, like, I mean, I think that's as much a managerial criticism as it is. Like, the reality is, too, with Aidan, is he hasn't shown up in All-Ireland finals, like 7 of them. I'm not going to hold a no scoring against him because he's not much of a scorer. But, like, I mean, he hasn't played well in those finals, you know?
Yeah, his confidence, like, obviously he's shot, like, and probably one of the key moments is obviously he missed the shot, but it was the one where he'd won the ball out in front of McNamee, and, you know, like, if you see Aidan O'Shea in a league match or even early in the championship, if he's going to take that shot, he's coming back inside. I think Morgan was scrambling at that stage to get back in as well, and I think any other day he steps inside McNamee and he's one-on-one with Morgan, and, you know, that's, for me, that was a lack of confidence. And, you know, you could just see he wanted something for, you know, he wanted to get a score and try to get a bit of confidence, because, you know, that he didn't, it just didn't show that he had that confidence there. But from a management point of view, yeah, like, you can't keep taking him in and out. Like, in my opinion anyway, you know, he is, I've played against Aidan, and he's obviously a huge big guy, and he can win ball, and he's got an awful lot of, he's very, very strong. So, like, if you want to play him inside, keep him in there. And, like, we tried it with Matty Donnelly a few years ago. We tried it, obviously, with McShane, where it worked, but, like, Tyrone were tampering with full forwards at one stage where we didn't have an out-and-out full forward. You have to give him his chance, and, like, once you start taking boys back out again, you're sort of no man's land. You're probably not actually, you know, they're not helping the player, because he's not working on, you want him working in the training ground on that specific role, and I'm not sure whether O'Shea was doing that. Now, you're probably right. They weren't kicking any ball in them. From I've played full forward myself years gone by, and as a big man, you do want a few of them balls, them diagonal passes. And there were times, you know, at the weekend where Mayo could have actually unleashed a few in them, like, and they didn't even look for it. And the ones who say they were coming into them were like that one weird bounce, and his back's to goal. As a big man, it's so hard. Like, you're not going to take Ron McNamee on, you know, getting the ball out in front, trying to take him and turn him and go by him. Like, that's not his game. And as soon as he went, won any of the balls inside, I couldn't see any runners actually exploding right down the middle, ready to get to him. Like, so that's that type of stuff there. You need to work out in training. Like, you know, I know even from a club point of view, we do that. Like, where you're peppering the ball into the full forward. It's very, very basic. But you're telling your half forwards and your midfielders, get in after and give him that runner. But it's difficult for him. Like I say, he gets an awful lot of flack for obviously such a big player for Mayo throughout all the championship games, and then okay, probably an iron fence hasn't done it. But I do think he's still a massive part of Mayo football and what he's done. But I think if they're going to go forward and how to use him in particular, I think at his age now, keeping him inside might be the option. But developing a plan around him, around that, and sticking to it, and being rigid and not going right in. As soon as things start going wrong, we'll move you out to midfield and try and get us the ball and start a running game again. I think at his stage, you have to actually keep him, put him in a position and keep him there and run with it.
That's the thing. He's 32 next year's championship, Alan. So his days around the midfield are numbered. So either to come up with a plan to start using him properly in there, or then you don't play him at all.
Yeah, I think, and I looked at him towards the end of the game, and he actually looked knackered towards the last 15 minutes of the game when Mayo really needed him.
Yeah, he was out the field kicking in ball. Yeah. He kicked in a long ball. What's the point? What are we doing here? Either you're staying in there and we'll kick in one to you. It was all confused, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't. At that stage, it's all around kind of Mayo's whole game plan from their half-back, full-back line, midfield is all pace, breaking hard at pace. And he doesn't really have the legs to break hard at pace with the likes of Paddy Durkin and the Lee Keegans and these guys. So I think you're right. I think they do need to develop a different game plan around him, leave him in for full forward. And as you say, he wanted to play full forward like a Conor Callaghan style full forward. He's coming out trying to win the ball in front. And if that's what they worked on in training, he's going to be in there.
But it makes no sense, does it?
Well, he can still play because he can win ball like that if there's runners coming past him.
A small fella can win those. Their ball's bouncing in front of you. You don't need a big 6'4" full forward to win that ball. You need Tommy Conroy can win those balls. You need him as another dimension up there, to keep the opposition guessing. And they don't use him they use him as a Ryan O'Donoghue, Tommy Conroy type forward.
Yeah. It doesn't look like they practice any high balling at all in.
He was standing there with his hands like this. Yeah. Could you see him off the camera looking for these ones?
Off the camera, no.
Yeah.
And it wasn't coming, yeah. So I don't know, is that a managerial issue, or is it Mayo maybe not showing a bit of composure again and thinking, okay, here I'm in a position here where I can get one into Aiden, and they're just not thinking like that. And as you say, it's about the risk reward, and there's no doubt he's a big man. If he gets it one on one there, he is capable of winning, or he is capable of getting the hand on it, getting the flick on it, maybe like Cathal McShane did, but they didn't even try it.
No, they didn't even try it. Alright, we'll leave it there for the start, lads, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the match. All right, so Tyrone 2:40 and Mayo 15 is how it ended out. Alan, you couldn't say Mayo didn't get the start that they wanted from the throw-in. Remember, Dublin got the goal with James McCarthy last year against them, but they got a lovely point. Maybe Tommy Conroy was barging, kind of stuck his head into the Tyrone defender, scored the point. Then they turned over one of the Tyrone defenders for a 45. Tyrone got an attack. Donnelly caught it. They surrounded him. The crowd were getting behind him. This is setting the tone. This is exactly... They couldn't have wanted... Niall Morgan with the kick out doesn't even go outside the 21. You thought after the first 3 or 4 minutes, Jesus, Mayo are in the zone and Tyrone are nervous.
Yeah, and that's what you'd expect from Mayo. That kind of high intensity start, kind of pressing up, forcing Niall Morgan into a mistake, and as a forward, Tommy Conroy getting a score, that's a dream in an All-Ireland final, getting a score after him. In 2011, I got our first two scores against Kerry, and it just settled you. So for somebody like Tommy Conroy to get that score after 16 seconds should have been a settler for the rest of the Mayo forwards as well. But I suppose Tyrone is Tyrone, as Tyrone always will. They kind of worked their way back into the game, and I suppose probably after that period for the rest of the game, I thought Tyrone definitely looked the more composed team right throughout.
Yeah, just before half time, I suppose Tyrone kind of got into their groove a bit, Colm Sludden with a lovely one off the outside of the right. Then he got another one off the inside of the right, and was it Hamsey got one in that period? They pushed themselves 9-6 ahead anyways. It was kind of, they got into their groove a little bit.
Yeah, look, I was obviously fairly glad to see Niall. Niall had a great period around that time, and he kicked them. That outside of the boot one is obviously one of his trademarks. He's done that for years. So, they started to push on, and you could see the confidence growing in them, and that they were actually, as Alan said about Mayo, started looked a wee bit, looked like they were still at nerves at that point, and Tyrone were taking the game by the scruff of the neck. So didn't expect anything different, to be honest. I knew these get like you're looking at the Niles Luddens, the Hampseys, Matty Donnelly's, Petey Hart's, these guys who've been through the All-Ireland final in 18 and have an awful lot of experience behind them. That's like when it comes to them stages, you want them guys to step up because they're the guys who know to take on the right shots from the right angles and to lead by example. Mayo probably didn't have that as much in terms of having them guys to take to do that. And, you know, like the Sluddens couple of points there at that stage of the game was crucial, but like a very experienced player, and obviously just give Tyrone that sort of a wee bit of caution, which, you know, they never really let go.
Yeah, Donnelly got a good point in that period as well, and Stephen Cohen did a very good job on Donnelly actually when he went in on him. I didn't really predict that matchup, but he did very well.
Yeah, it was probably one of Donnelly's quieter days. But I said, just like the guys Colin's mentioned there, like a couple of those have been through some hard years, and particularly Niall Sludden, like he's moved from centre forward back to playing ring back. They've moved him around a little bit, but he was exceptional Saturday evening. The culprit was Peter Hart, obviously, as like we spoke with him last week, you know what you're going to get from every day, but I think he was fantastic as well. And like, I suppose as the game started to develop, I was kind of looking, God, maybe Tyrone have the better players here. Just I didn't really think that before the game, but as the game started to develop, I thought they just looked, I could see that bit of experience coming through. They just looked more comfortable on the ball. They looked more composed. And like, I think from 15, 20 minutes in, for me, there was only going to be one winner in this game.
Yeah, there probably was. Like, I mean, when you look at it, we mentioned Aidan O'Shea goal chance, and I completely agree. I suppose the composure, maybe he just didn't want to cut back in on his right and kick with his right. You know, the confidence gone. The Brian Walsh one, Colm, like, I mean, that was it was more than a half chance. It was a decent chance. I thought when he turned his back, the thing was to do to ship it out to Kevin McLaughlin maybe, and he'd either tap it over the bar or go. There no composure there. Look, I've done it myself. I wouldn't have composure scoring goals where you do something like that. You're just panicked in the situation. And I suppose, like, you Brian Walsh, you know, should he even be starting? You know, he's in that situation in front of the Hill 16. We've seen a lot better players than him, you know, mess up goal chances. And it's like, they're the two big chances in that first half when the game was close and it was kind of, you know, point for point. Those two goal chances were huge for Mayo.
Yeah, completely. And like, it's very hard. The guys, you're in the All-Ireland final, very lot of high pressure, high intensity. So sometimes you do things that's probably, you know, in hindsight, you wouldn't have done. But ultimately, there are the big chances and the big day that you have to take to win a game. And, you know, I don't know, maybe lack of composure at times, but rabbit in the headlights sort of stuff. Like, that just instinctively sometimes you have to either have it or you don't. And, you know, say it's always brilliant looking at these afterwards going, we could have done this, could have done that. But, like, the goals are, there's no doubt that was the, that was the difference, obviously, in the game. Like, where, you know, the goal itself obviously helps on the scoreboard, but it's that boost and that lift that it gives the team and that sort of confidence. You put your chest out after scoring the goal and everyone's hyped and ready, and, you know, obviously Tyrone getting the two goals as well. It just breeds throughout the team where you score a goal and regardless of the scoreline, you could be a point up or you could be 10 points up, but you stand up then after that, and that gives it rejuvenates. And even having fans obviously at the gate, like back in the stadium, it just gives everyone a lift. Like, so Mayo not taking them chances, like, you know, I said, they do thrive off that high intensity, that high pace piece, especially from watching them against Dublin, you know, in the semi-final where whenever they got on top of Dublin, they were unbelievable. And Not taking them chances nearly deflates the players as well. So, you know, whenever you miss a real gilt-edged chance and whatever, like, it deflates definitely from the players' perspective.
Yeah, and I think as Tyrone kind of grew into the game, they realise, here, Mayo are toothless tigers here. You know what I mean? And those couple of gold misses, then Tyrone just stretched away then. I think Tyrone actually grew in confidence when they realised Mayo aren't really hurting us here.
Yeah, seeing it, Jan. I think if you compare the two chances, say Brian Walsh's chance compared to Conor McKenna's chance for the McCurry goal, like, and I've done it myself in big games where you have a wild swipe at something in the hope you might get a goal, and like, you need composure at that stage. And it looked like he got the ball inside. they were inside the Tyrone defence, but he lost the chance to have his shot at goal. Like, Morgan had smothered him and he just tried to turn and kick it through him.
Yeah.
It was never really, and it was nearly like a taunt in his head. I'm in an All-Ireland final, I'm going to score a goal here, I'm going to have a swipe at this, I might score a goal. Yeah. Whereas then you compare it to, and as I said, I've done it myself, had wild swipes and stuff instead of the simple hand pass across for a palm. And you look at the composure of Conor McKenna, him bearing down a goal. And if he'd had a shot from there, nobody would have blamed him for having a shot from there, but he had that bit of composure to slip it across and finish the game off and let Darren McCurdy get the goal. So it was those two moments maybe sum up the whole game and how Mayo had no composure when they got into those positions and Tyrone had it in spades.
When they needed the chances. Like James Horan said after the game, he says, we gave away a lot of turnovers in that first half. They were crazy turnovers. And Mayo did, like, after watching Kerry run into blind alleys against Tyrone, like, Mayo proceeded to do the same thing on a lot of occasions, Colin, which is like Ruan heading off on solo runs. Like, whatever about playing a running game with quick hand passes and support, one thing you don't do against Tyrone is go off on a bloody solo run. Like, it's not going to get you anywhere. Like, did they learn nothing?
No, I like that. Whenever I started to see them trying to run the ball, that, like, it's a new Tyrone at that stage. That's how we had set up for years, trying to stop that sort of running game. And now, like, obviously we've changed a wee bit in terms of pushing out and, you know, and all that. But a lot of our game was built around stopping that and stopping the way, you know, stopping them sort of runs. Now, you've got to give credit to some of the guys because the intensity they played with, like, I'm thinking Brian Kennedy, especially in the first half, like he put in a serious amount of stops and obviously resulted in turnovers. Kilpatrick as well, you know, once, and then obviously the defenders, like, so, like, yeah, they were just feeding into what Tyrone were about. Like, we've, you know, so that's, we thrived that whole counter-attack piece for years, like, and whenever they started trying to run the ball, and I was feeling the same. I just thought, look, this is exactly what we want you to do. Like, we don't want you to, how we struggle against Mayo in the years gone by is Mayo moving the ball fast, delivering. I remember, especially from their own kick-outs, they used to move the ball to even the cornerback, a drag kick past the half to midfield, and then an all pass inside, and we were always freaking running back. We're, you know, and we're never set and never ready, and they didn't do really very much on Saturday. They did continue to build from the back and start trying to, you know, go man for man and break that line with a running game, which was never really, like, in my eyes, they needed to do a lot more of the kick pass and to try and really, especially when you had O'Shea in there, like, to give, you know, put us under pressure by doing that, but they didn't. And just it, but again, I think once the turnovers, it's a bit like scoring a goal. If Tyrone were, if we were taking turnovers and we're counter attacking, that boost and that lift that gives the team is massive. You're in again and you're deflating Mayo, so it was all leading into that sort of, you know, that piece around just building confidence around. And when you get that, I think then the Tyrone guys were very settled because they turned them over a few times. And, you know, ultimately that does get you into the game very early.
Some of the Tyrone defending is brilliant though, Alan. Like, they're man-on-man defending. The minute they get a hand on you, you're pretty much gobbled up. And that's not with a mass defence. That's man-on-man. I remember Tommy Conroy trying to take Hamsey on down under Hill 16. Hamsey just stayed with him, got that contact on him. Conroy's, you know, having to turn back out. Whenever, like, they're not surrounding players so much, but they're able to get that one extra man over there. Now you're gobbled up and now you're in trouble. I think the only time Mayo kind of dealt with it fairly well was the Paddy Durkin point, where Ryan Donoghue had it one side and he kicked it off. You know, they switched the play up and Tyrone didn't have, you know, they didn't have as many bodies over there and they got a handy point. We're not seeing enough of that, really. You know, Tyrone are very comfortable in their defending.
Yeah, they're very comfortable one-on-one defending, and they have some excellent defenders. I think Ronnie McNamee, obviously Hamsey,
McKernan had a great
game. Hart's well able to defend, McGeary's well able to defend, so they have five or six really top notch. And look, I suppose, like, when you look at a team, until they win in All-Ireland, when a team wins in All-Ireland, all of a sudden the players raise up to another level. All of a sudden he's a brilliant defender now. But when you're looking at the cold light of days, they have guys that are very comfortable defending one on one, and they're happy if they get left isolated in there. If a man takes them on, they're fine with that. And I suppose Tyrone teams always were, like, you think back to Ryan McMahon and Conor Gormley, like, these guys didn't mind going one on one for you. And that bit of history, that just kind of works its way, permeates its way through a county and gives great confidence to defenders coming after. And it's obviously something they work on the training ground as well. I'd imagine they work very hard at their one on one defending. And then when they get a fella turned, there's always a second man looking to come in to try and force the turnover. And once you get caught, like you talk Matruwan, once you get caught in there with two or three of them, you may as well just hand the ball back to them and start again.
That's it.
That was the biggest change. Like you look at what's the biggest change in Tyrone this year, and that's it. Like, you know, we trained for years and years on that pack defence and that back in numbers and shifting left to right. Like, you know, like that's been for me the biggest change to a Tyrone this year with Fergan and Brian and whatnot coming in. Like they knew that defend style and the way we've played for years wasn't going to always work. Like it just hadn't got us over the line, and like it was obviously a bit of a risk this year because this is probably the first year where they've took risks going forward, but they've obviously took risks at the back too, where you know there isn't three, four men always covering. Like there is times where the guys were there was maybe two on two inside or whatever, like, and you know they had to sort of stand up and you know like defend. Going back to, we talked about it earlier on in the year where they were going back to old school defending and actually going back to the basics of can you defend up one on one. And I know from chatting to the lads, like they did do an awful lot of that in training this year, like where they were, right, lads, you've one on one here, you have to stop your man. No, there's nobody coming to help you at times. Like there will be times in games and big games where you will have to stop your man. But like the Conroy piece, like where, you know, you have to be able to You have to back yourself to stop that attacker going past you. While years gone by it was don't worry, like if somebody gets the ball in front and is taking you one-on-one, you'll always have two, three men running across to try and to put out the fire effectively.
Yeah. And Mayo could have got some joy there. Like obviously Tommy Conroy got in for his goal chance. I think he was on, might have been on McKiernan at that stage.
No, it was Hamsey.
But he got around him on the outside and he did get inside him.
But so I think Hamsey thought he was going to take a mark there. Hamsey was caught flat-footed because, you know, he just paused and Conroy got the turn on him.
Yeah, but it just shows, like, if you play as a forward unit and you have guys, obviously Tommy Conroy has pace, if you play with guys with that sort of pace and you get them the ball early, it's very difficult for even the best defenders to stop that when you're going at the goal at that pace. But it was probably the only real-time Mayo did it and kind of created an opportunity like that. But like kind of that's the way to play, and if teams are and like I'm sure other counties looking at this now and say, okay, now there is opportunity to start kicking the ball back into full forward, because the last few years playing against the Tyrones and even Dublins and stuff, it's very difficult to put kick passes into your full forward line, whereas yesterday we saw that those opportunities are coming around again. There is one-on-one, two-on-two opportunities being,
yeah, if you move it down with the foot.
If you move it really quickly, yeah.
I'm saying it for 2 years here on this show, Alan. It's just bloody managers don't seem to be listening. In fairness, I owe an apology to Brian Kennedy. I was tipping him to get dropped, and I think the best compliment you'll give him in the final was Matty Donnelly was taken off. And Matty Donnelly's never just taken off. He put out to midfield, and there was no way you could take off somebody out around the midfield. I think that's the compliment to Kennedy, and not so much Kilpatrick. He was excellent too. But Brian Kennedy man-marked Matruwan and never gave him a look of it, and still did a little bit of work outside of marking him as well, Colm.
Yeah, look, I obviously know Brian fairly well, and he gave me a roasting last year in the club championship, so I know how good he can be. But he goes through an awful lot of work. Like, he's obviously a big, strong lad. He can catch ball. You know, he's really good at them flick-ons. And you could see Morgan picking him out a few times, you know, trying to target him for that flick-on. So, you know, a really good tackler. Like, I mean, like, once he gets you in the arms and tackled, like, and he's incredibly difficult to get away from. So, look, I've been a big fan of his for this year. I felt that, you know, him and Kilpatrick really complement each other in the way they can play, because Kilpatrick's a very explosive guy and can go forward, a bit like where he took the catch and drove a wee bit and then laid it off. He has that in the locker. While Kennedy's more, he's a really, really strong tackler. He can stop guys, he can win ball, and he goes through a mountain of work. Like, he ultimately had to go off, and I was chatting him after it, and his two calves, I think, just seized up. He was completely gone, you know, the amount of work he'd went through. I'd love to see the GPS stats. So, I do think he was, you know, he had a fantastic final, and, you know, there probably was a lot of people out there like yourself. Well, he probably was saying, you know, he might not start, or, you know, does he deserve it? But no, look, a mountain of performance. And in terms of the Matty Donnelly thing, I do think he was struggling in terms of injuries and whatnot as well. So I'm not saying I'm just totally down to his performance either, like, because you want to have him on the pitch as much as possible as well, because he's a bit like Buchanan, where he might be always having the best game, but he can always pop up with scores and do things that for that can change games.
I think the best way you'd sum up Brian Kennedy's performance is that Mathieu Rann ended up getting sent off by just being so pissed off. He was on Con Kilpatrick at that stage, and I watched this unfolding off the ball. Now, I felt sorry for Rowan because it's desperation stakes at that stage. The game's kind of gone from them. Rowan was trying to catch up with the play. Con Kilpatrick was giving him a few duns, not letting it. And then Mathieu Rann just unloaded on him with a few punches. Like, he deserved his red. The referee, fairness to McQuillan, he got everything right. The penalty decision in the first half was outside. He bottled a couple of black cards, but I don't really mind that at the same time. It's an All-Ireland final. I'd rather not see any black cards in it. But Rowan had to go and Kilpatrick the yellow, even though you would feel sorry for Mathieu Rann. It was the linesman that spotted it, and frustration.
It was frustration. It was probably over at that stage. I thought Kilpatrick was maybe lucky enough as well. I thought there was definitely a few swings from Mathieu Rann. I thought Kilpatrick maybe went back with one as well. That could have landed him in trouble at that stage of the game. I don't think it really would have mattered. But yeah, I suppose it's testament to guys. And we'd looked at the Tyrone midfield and maybe thought that was a potential weak spot for them over the course of the last few games. Obviously, two guys who wouldn't be that well known around the country, but they certainly came to the fore yesterday, and the two of them were excellent. Like, Mathieu Rowan had been excellent for Mayo up to this stage, was probably, and if Mayo had won and he'd done well, he was probably heading into the Football of the Year conversation. But the lads did very well on him yesterday. And look, I think Tyrone did a very good game plan set out, and every team needs guys like the likes of Brian Kennedy, who's just willing to do a job for the team. Like there's no frills about him, as Colin says. He gets out there, he does a mountain of work, he gets tackles in, he wins ball and he lays it off. And every team needs those sort of guys that just want to play under the radar and just do their job for the team.
Yeah,
and he's one of them.
He definitely is. It was a nervous second half. Like, Tyrone weren't perfect yesterday. They got the goals. They were clinical with the goals, Colm. Like, I suppose, like, they had a lot of missed chances themselves in the second half. Like we said, they didn't score a point until Peter Hart got a mark. That shouldn't, you know, if it was anyway decent defending, there's no way he didn't even get off the ground, like we were saying, to catch that. But that's the only point they scored. Like, I mean, Sludden missed an easy chance when it was a long kick out that they won. Conor McKenna missed a bloody mark he'd score all day, and another one from play. Colin McShane missed one from a free. Tyrone were very nervous in that period, and if they weren't so clinical with the goals, you'd be wondering, you know, geez, they're not kicking here at all.
Goals win the games, will
it? There you go, that's it.
No, completely. There was chances that, obviously, the Sludden one and the McKenna mark as well. I sort of thought, geez, any other day this is going over. Like, and
he was very nervous.
It probably was, and you'd think that stage of the game, the nerves were gone and everything. You know, sometimes, you can see that you're sort of watching the scoreboard. You can see it nearly felt like that from a Tyrone perspective, that the players were looking up the scoreboard going, geez, we're close here to win the Ireland final. And they started to make them chances. They started to miss and whatnot. So, like, by no means perfect. Like, and they'd be the first to... They'd be first to admit that. And like, we've talked an awful lot about how bad Mayo were. Like, at the end of the day, there were some good play by Mayo at times, and Tyrone weren't perfect, but that's, you know, you just have to make, make the most of the positive pieces of play. And again, talked about the goals, like, genuinely, like, that they are a difference in a game. And that's where Tyrone, I think, had that ruthlessness that, you know, I said, probably haven't had over the years, where, you know, the guys were going for it, they had the composure, and were able to deliver that. So, yeah, look, there was mistakes made, there was nerves there, but ultimately the good piece to play outweighed the negatives, and that's probably because of the goals.
Yeah, probably. We could sum up this whole analysis section: goals win games. Next, performance of the weekend. That's the reality. The goals were the difference in the end, because it wasn't a huge amount in general play.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned beforehand that the standard of the general play probably wasn't as high as some of what we've seen from both of these teams.
Yeah.
So. Like, in previous games. But ultimately, all Ireland finals are for winning, and it doesn't matter whether you win. Like our game against Kerry in 2011, the standard of our play that day probably wasn't what we were capable of either. But you go out and you play the game that's in front of you, and if you win by 10 or if you're ahead by 1, it's a different game you play. Kind of depend on where you're at on the day. And I think Tyrone just played what was in front of them. They knew they were on top. They knew they were a bit more composed. And as you said, when they got the goal opportunities, they did take them. But both teams looked very edgy at stages, I thought. Yeah.
I think Tomás O'Shea was getting a bit carried away. I watched the game back yesterday. He was making out this was a classic All-Ireland, nearly one for the ages. I didn't think it was kind of that myself.
I thought it was entertaining. Like we watched some games over the last number of years and thought, God, would you ever want to watch a game of Gaelic football again? But certainly I thought Saturday's game was entertaining. It was enthralling with the mistakes and with the good goals and stuff. A classic. I'm not sure it was a classic.
Probably wasn't. The long kickouts, though, Colm, just to finish up on this, this is definitely a feature of Tyrone's. And the amount of scores they could have got off it. They got an early score from McCurry from a long kickout. McGeary got fouled from a long kickout. They got their goal from a long kickout. You know, Sludden should have scored in the second half, all from a long kickout. That's something they definitely identified. And when you think about it, isn't it unforgivable, really, that Mayo and Kerry didn't really use their long kickouts at all? I do think Tyrone have pointed teams in the direction of how you're going to get joy from now on, and that's not by hand passing it aimlessly. You have a higher chance of being turned over if you go with the a slow hand passing game. Yes, you might get turned over with a kicking game, but you get way more joy by getting one on ones up there. Like what Alan said at the start, like, I do think they've pointed the way to teams to be more aggressive. And even if it's maybe not a systems thing, and it's just Niall Morgan is an aggressive sort of player, and that's what he likes to take chances, do you know? But teams will have learned from him.
I think the answers will seem to have shifted a wee bit, because I think, Alan, you spoke about, you know, teams always looking to game manage and retain possession and stuff. And from kickouts, that was always, you know, if you get it short or, you know, maybe just a wee bit outside this one, you know, out, then that's brilliant. You've done your job. But ultimately, I think teams are realising that you have an awful lot of work to do from there, whatever, especially when teams are now pressing up higher. So I think years gone by where teams are sort of dropping off and you had the freedom right up the midfield and, you know, you were sort of then trying to start your attack. I think the game shifted a wee bit where the guys are, like teams like Mayo and Kerry's in Dublin, they're pushing you up high. So it, in a way, it's forcing teams to go longer. And Tyrone did it in the semi-final as well, and actually didn't get very much joy. They went long an awful lot and lost a lot of break ball. And, you know, it was something that we were sort of looking at as a negative. But, you know, I think that could have been something that they worked on probably from the, you know, from the semi to the final, where, like, they knew that Mayo was going to come out and they were going to press them high and they were going to really, you know, make them go long. But the difference probably between the semi and the final was that Tyrone always seemed to have more guys there and around the breaks, or, you know, were able to catch clean. And ultimately, if you win it out there, you know, you're gonna get more chances. You're immediately, you've taken out four, five, six Mayo attackers. You know, there's going to be space at the back for them. So I genuinely do think that that's going to be a big feature going forward, where, yeah, like, especially if teams are going to start pressing, the teams have been pressing and they're going to continue to do that. I think the way the game's moved, it's shifted a wee bit, where in the past team player, like, I know Tyrone, for example, where we would have dropped off kickouts and that, I don't think that's the case anymore.
Doesn't it defy all logic, though, Alan? Like, you don't have to have played the game at any level to know that if a team's pushing up on your kick out and have about eight players in your half of the field, that kicking it over those eight players, you know, might be a smart thing to do. And they'll have no covering players at the other end. There's, like, where's the logic, you know, against that?
Yeah, I suppose, like, there was a couple of plays, and obviously the goal being one of them, it kind of reminded me so much of Donegal against Dublin in 2014, like, where we all pressed up, and that's testament to Niall Morgan. But I'd imagine that was identified by the management as well. When Mayo were getting this really high press on him, let's try get Conca Patrick or one of the midfielders up the field to see can we get a really long kick out of them. They lost a lot of breaking ball in the semi-final against Kerry, another thing that they clearly worked on, and they were much improved in the game yesterday. So like, in fairness to the Tyrone management, all the things that maybe didn't work well against Kerry, they seem to fix for this game and we're much better at them. And obviously, I think, like, that was a move, looked like it was straight off the training ground, similar to Donegal against Dublin.
It was like that goal, wasn't it?
So it was nearly a carbon copy of it, only it was a catch rather than a flick. And Mayo just weren't ready for it. They had too many men up the field and just couldn't get back quick enough. And look, it still has to be finished well, and it was finished well, but it was a perfect training ground move. And look, not every keeper has the capacity Niall Morgan has to bomb it out there with the accuracy he has and the flight he can put on it. Like the flight he puts on it makes it perfect for a midfielder to attack. And I thought, like, his kicking game has He's always been a good kicker, but I think he's gone from strength to strength. Even some of his distribution in open play, like he's spraying balls off the outside of his foot that lads up in the forwards would be afraid to try. Like he was dropping balls over other forwards off the outside of his foot into the running path of some of the Tyrone defenders. I thought his kicking's exceptional.
It is exceptional, yeah. He plays like, I mean, I was up in Eden Dark last Thursday night. Plays midfield, obviously, for them. And, like, I think he was getting trials. Was he getting trials with Tyrone as a wing forward at one stage when the new management came in? Colm, Niall Morgan?
I didn't actually hear that, but it wouldn't surprise me because, like, to be fair, like the tide, I know Mickey, under his tenure, he sort of toyed with playing Morgan as a sweeper, like, you know, as a full-time sweeper as well as goalkeeper. So, you know, his outfield ability is obviously there, and as Alan said, his kick passing is probably the best kick passer that Tyrone have. And he's very mobile. He's
probably the best kick passer in the country at this stage. That one off the outside of foot, he's exceptional. He's not afraid to try any.
No. And that's the thing about him. I've gone from finding him a very frustrating player to actually just admiring the fact that he takes risks all the time. And I used to think maybe he wanted to be in the game and maybe he wasn't doing it for the team. The more risks you take, he's not afraid of making a mistake. And that's very rare in the game, you know, in the last 10 years, I suppose, Colm.
I think it's just a shift as well with Tyrone. Like, I've said this probably the whole year where we have been very risk adverse, and you know, and we've been always very safe and don't look like it. There's massive emphasis with Tyrone for a number of years there of not losing the ball and not kicking it in silly, and you know, not taking any risks, like just complete game management at all stages. And like I suppose that's where we always probably came up short. Well, it's clearly seen that obviously Niall was obviously somebody that can deliver the kick passes in and is willing to take them risks. I said about Hamsey earlier on, he, over the course of the year, he's been kicking balls in. They might not have always come off, but you have to keep trying that and you have to keep doing it. Minor obviously don't define and it come off. Like, so it's just been a massive shift from Tyrone where you're going from don't take any risks at all. Everything has to be methodical and everything has to be worked into the right area. And I suppose you look at Dublin as well. Dublin looked to me this year very much like that, where, and that had stood them massively well, obviously, over the last number of years, where you know, they're getting the ball in the shooting zones and the right areas, and everything was like it was literally just like a military operation. Like, well, I think Tyrone this year just like the part of their game was like that, but part of their game was off the cuff and was a wee bit more, you know, let's go back to a bit old school, let's let her in, let's take risks. You know, it only takes one of them to come off for a goal to happen, and you know, they've got the reward.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something Dublin will have to, because Dublin have gone way too far on the other side now and maybe learn a little bit from Tyrone. One final point before we get into performance the weekend is the Mayo missed chances. We mentioned the goals. Like Aidan O'Shea missed the point. Brian Walsh missed a point that he blazed wide. Conor Loftus must have missed three. Ryan O'Donoghue missed an easy point from play and a penalty. Tommy Conroy missed a goal. Jordan Flynn missed one at the end. It was a terrible effort. You have Darren Cohen putting in the goalie's hands. They had enough chances to win the game.
Yeah, they certainly did. And I think kind of the way Tyrone play and the way the game played out, Mayo are always going to get chances. Like, we know Tyrone are playing a little bit differently now. They are going to press up, so that's going to leave gaps in between. But I'm saying that, like, I don't think it was just the misses for Mayo. It was the pressure Tyrone were putting them all over the field. I think they had them a little bit spooked, to be honest with you. I don't think they were maybe used. Maybe Dublin, in hindsight, wasn't the best preparation for Mayo at all. Because
Dublin were sitting ducks this year,
that
maybe.
That kind of game was played, certainly the first half of that game was played at a low intensity with all this game management gone. And the second half, Mayo just came at Dublin and Dublin couldn't raise to that intensity level. So coming in against Tyrone, it was a much higher level of intensity in the tackling, how Tyrone went after them to turn over the ball, and just looked to me like Mayo couldn't get their high energy game going, and maybe they were just a little bit spooked by the intensity of Tyrone, and that led to missed passes, missed chances, lack of composure around the field, which ultimately put Tyrone on top.
Yeah, we will. And I think after the Peter Hart catch and they got the first point, they saw out the game the last 7-8 minutes. Like, there was very comfortable. Yeah. More comfortable. Yeah. I'd say, Colm, you couldn't believe it that, you know, there was no kind of big fight back. It was the opposite, if anything. Like, Tyrone just looked so comfortable at that stage.
Yeah, look, they definitely did. I was obviously watching it thinking, this game's gone. Like, there's no way, you know, there was no way that Mayo looked like they were ever going to cut them open and put in the back of net and sort of resurgence. It just, I suppose one thing Tyrone had me good at over the years, you know, when they get in front and they're normally able to manage stuff quite well. Like, so they definitely did. It didn't look like the Mayo were going to come back. And then I said, look, Mayo, they did have their chances. Like, and I said, I think the composure and the lack of composure and I don't know, Alan talked about being spooked there. I don't know what it was, but they did look like they looked very nervous and, you know, snapping at shots and just very uncharacteristic. Like, when you looked at the semi-final, obviously, that whenever they're in them high intensity moments, they were able to, you know, deliver and get the points and really push on. Well, in the final, unfortunately, it just didn't happen. Like I say, in my eyes, Tyrone were comfortable. After McKenna or the McCurry goal, like, I just thought, look, there's no way. I don't see how Mayo would get back into this, just the way they were playing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we'll leave it there, lads, and we'll come back with performance of the weekend. All right, performance at the weekend. So we've mentioned the Tyrone midfield, Con Kilpatrick and Brian Kennedy. I want to start with Niall Sludden, Colm. 2 points from play, destroyed Michael Plunkett, who, Jesus, I'm not sure how he's starting on the team. I know he's Ballintubber, James Horan's club, but, you know, I don't think he's at the races at Intercounty. But Sludden cleaned him out of it. Sludden is very underrated at his kick passing. He gives some lovely diagonal passes inside the field, which I don't think he gets the credit for. He drops back, does an awful lot of work. He's able to get on the scoreboard. And incredibly, he never got one league game, Colm. He wasn't being fancied under this new management team. So how much credit does he deserve to keep the head down, finally, you know, make his way back in on the team and then keep it?
Yeah, I'd say he was probably scratching his head at the start of the year, thinking, "What have I done?" Because he was a mainstay in the Tyrone team under Mickey, and you know, there'd been an awful lot of trust put in there, like, and you know, has been one of the leaders. But yeah, on the new management, I sort of find it a wee bit strange at the start that he wasn't getting a look in, because he's probably that low key player where he nips in and around. He's very, very busy. He puts in tackles. He always chips in with a score too. Like, so, probably, you know, fairly understated over the last few years, and he's a quiet lad off the pitch as well. Like, he just sort of goes about his business, and like at the weekend he obviously kicked 2 points. He probably was in line for man of the match had he kicked on a wee bit in the second period. You know, he was, in my eyes, he was probably Tyrone's best player in the first half and just moving into the second, and he probably did go over the wee bit, you know, and just didn't, you know, he obviously missed, like, he kicked wide and then just, it maybe didn't happen for him the last few minutes, but he definitely was up there. He definitely, especially his first, you know, the first half performance and whatnot, he was flying. So, yeah, look, it's great to see. Strange one. I had no league football and obviously, he was working hard in training and kept his head down, and he's got his rewards, like, and put him in a shift at the weekend.
Yeah, I think if he got that third point, he probably would have been man of the match. After all these the Tyrone matches, the man of the match isn't obvious, and that's a feature of Dublin as well. Has it gotten so much about teams and everybody working hard that, or is it just me where man of the matches aren't always stand out now, Alan?
Yeah, no, I think this Tyrone team in particular definitely is some of the parts. Even the semi final. McGeary was man of the match, but he wasn't real standout on his own. It was similar yesterday. There was probably 5 or 6 guys definitely in contention for the man of the match award, and I think that her own management would be very happy with that. I think, like, a team that has a solid base with everyone doing their part is a lot stronger than a team that has one star player. So look at David Clifford in the semi final. Kerry were so reliant on him, and when he had to go off, there. Efforts kind of fell apart when he wasn't on the field, or they didn't know where to go to for their score. So I think that Tyrone management would be much happier with having a team that's a sum of the parts rather than about any individual.
Yeah, no, definitely. McCurry did play well, Colm. He deserves a mention. 1-4, 1-2 from play. Like, the goal was a tap-in, but he still had to make that support run. You know what I mean? If he didn't, Conor McKenna could have been blocked down and that goal doesn't happen. So he deserves credit from that. He had a good battle with O'Hora. Surprised, actually, O'Hora got taken off. He was gone off McCurry for the second half. Mayo made that change at half-time. Keegan went on to McCurry. And then when Kyle McShane got the goal, Keegan went on to him. So Mayo were trying to use Keegan maybe to put out any fire that was going. But McCurry definitely deserves a mention, and he did it on the big day.
Yeah, and to be fair to him, there's been a massive question mark over McCurry and Tyrone probably for a few years. Whether, like, he's always been fairly really, really good in Ulster Championship. He's been good in leagues. And, you know, the talk was, can he do it on the big day? There has been big days where he hasn't stepped up to the plate and hasn't performed. And, you know, even after the semi-final performance, you know, Tom O'Sullivan obviously had done a really, really good job on him. There was an awful lot of, I felt anyway, there was pressure on him going into the final because, you know, there was them murmurs of, he doesn't have it on the big day. But look, all credit. That the goal, albeit it happened, he made a serious run to get there. I know his fitness levels and all are really, really high, and you know, a great finish. And I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was immense, and he has to, you know, we have to give him that full credit because I say there was that question mark over him. And but yeah, it doesn't miss. Once you know, taking free kicks from the wrong side, you know, can score from open play, very, very accurate. And obviously get the goal that he deserved. So look, a massive performance from him, and you know, I think he did get man of the match, and with our team on as well. So yeah, look, a very good day for him, and glad to see it because say there has been that sort of will he or won't he perform the big day.
Well, I want to ask you about Con Kilpatrick here as well, because I was up in Edendark, like I said, on Thursday night, and they're telling me he hates tracking back. This lad, he loves going forward, Con does, and he's a going forward. Does he have another level to go to where he can add the maybe going forward part that he does with his club all the time and marry it with that really kind of, you know, extra defender, high work rate, kind of all-action midfielder? Like, could he take a step up to, like, he'll probably get an All-Star this year, but can he add another, you know, element to his game, his club going forward, and marry it all together and become, like, a big, massive name in the game?
I'm taking credit for these two boys, Kennedy and Patrick. I told Doher in December and January that he had two good midfielders during them two boys, and that's why he wasn't going back. So, yeah, look, Con, to be fair, in club football, obviously plays at the senior level as well with against our own club, and he's a massive driving forward. Obviously, a really good catcher, but attacks, really, really strong attacker, and a lot of pace and whatnot. So he has the makings. He's all the tools and athleticism and everything there. I think the guys have changed him a wee bit this year. As I say, he doesn't probably like that whole tracking back, and that was the big, like, I suppose it took the management of a wee while to sort of probably see the, you know, the Murray brand and Con together, because Con doesn't really, he probably doesn't, it's not his natural game where he'd be running back and trying to make big tackles, because he has that sort of attacking instinct. But the guys have sort of said, look, Con, you need to go back and do this. So he has, he put in an awful lot of work there defensively. So I think, well, a wee bit of tweaking and a wee bit of work, he could be. He could be. He's one definitely for the future. I say he's probably getting an All-Star this year. But the two guys complement each other so well. And I think Kilpatrick's definitely one for the future. I've been saying it for years, so I'm taking the credit for it definitely, because I think he definitely has it there in spades. He's a good decision maker. He's tall. He can catch ball. He can go forward. He's added that defensive. That's really a defensive role that he has to develop in this game. So yeah, I think there's big things to come from.
Now that you mentioned that phone call with Brian Duer earlier on in the year, are you kicking yourself now after, like, I've watched Portlaoise win a Leinster club when I wasn't there. I had transferred away, and I felt terribly torn watching it, that I was obviously rooting for them, and there was a small part of me would be really upset if they won. I was like, oh god, like, I mean, were you a little bit tortured watching it? Like,
I got asked this about 10 times at the park on Saturday. You know, every time I went to go to the toilet or went anywhere, there was somebody saying it to me, would you not, glad you not think you want to be out there? Of course, like, you know, you know, when you're sitting there, as I said, my first time there since 06 as a supporter probably, and I was sitting there, and it was a bit weird watching it, and there's a wee bit of you going, geez, I'd love to be out playing there. Of course you would. You would be lying if you were saying, no, there's no part of you thinking, why did I not go back? But ultimately, I see what goes on. I'm sure, Alan, you know this, so do you, Willie, or there's an awful lot goes from December or whatever it is last year till freaking the to September now, and an awful lot of work, analysis, nights, hours. Like, there's just so much goes into that, and people probably don't really see that. Like, they see the big days and they see the finals, and oh, geez, that was great to win. But there's an awful lot of stuff that goes on in behind the scenes that I wouldn't have went back for. So, No, I wouldn't change. I still wouldn't change my conversation with her, but I'm taking credit for the midfield burn.
we'll give you that one. I suppose Lee Keegan deserves a mention on the Mayo side, Alan. Like, I mean, he is a warrior. Again, did most of his good work going forward and driving Mayo on, and that's what he's good at. Kicked an incredible point. He's probably one of the only ones from Mayo that could hold their heads up high. But he never lets Mayo down on the big day, Lee Keegan.
No, he's exceptional. And it's funny. I thought he'd been weighing a little bit over the last year or so, but he's come back in this championship and he's expected to do both. You said he's moved around to put out fires, and then he's expected to still play his offensive game, and he got a score straight after. He got a great score straight after the Darren McCurry's goal off the outside of his foot, and like, he has that in his locker. He can get goals when he gets up there, and he's had a good championship, I think. And he was, like, as you say, he never lets Mayo down. You know, he's a top defender. You know exactly what you're gonna get out of him every day he goes out, and he can be. He's obviously hurting today, but he can be very proud of his performance again.
There was a lovely picture of him and Peter Hart with Peter Hart's nice child. Shot, yeah. You know, like, I mean, he's just, he's a warrior. He's one that you would, like, while I say my sympathy for Mayo was kind of gone, he's one that you'd always feel sympathy for. Jesus, the man deserves an All-Ireland medal, but like, I mean, it doesn't look like he's going to get one now. Pádraic Hamsey deserves a shout out. Jesus, the point against Kerry wasn't a fluke anyway, because he repeated it off the outside of the boot for a corner back. You know, man-on-man defending, really good. Performance of the weekend has to go to Niall Morgan. He's bringing the risk back into Gaelic football. I bloody love him for it. He doesn't know anything about, oh, here, let's give a handy one or whatever. Like, he'd give it, but it's like, ah, geez, do I have to give this one now? You know, it's like he wants to do things offensively all the time, Colm, and maligned at times by me on the show sometimes. Like, he kicked that first big long range free when Mayo had gone two up. I know it's only two up, but Tyrone needed a score to settle them, and he kind of celebrated it, went over the bar. He got three in total, you know, set up the McCurry goal chance, which McCurry did everything right except for Hennelly. We give him credit for a save. But Morgan, if you're to track back, is probably responsible. If McCurry and Sludden had scored those two scores, Niall Morgan could be directly responsible for maybe about 1-6 out of their total. This is what he's bringing to the play by refusing a lot of the time to go with the safe option.
Yeah, he has transformed. Like, I suppose Niall has probably had a lot of criticism over the years, especially in his early parts of his career, and has definitely kept bouncing back and improving. And I know him fairly well personally, like, so I know the work that he's putting in behind the scenes to do that. He's not a goalkeeper, he's an outfielder. He's willing to take them risks. He's going and he's transforming nearly the goalkeeping role that wee bit further from, obviously, with Stephen Cluxton that started and Began coming out. Morgan, I think, like, he's always making the right decision. He doesn't want that handy 2-yard fist pass to the cornerback. He's willing to come forward and deliver them bombs into the full forward line. Like, 3 points at the weekend. Like, what do you say? Like, unbelievable. Like, it's a brilliant performance from him. And, like I say, lad that has deserved it, has put in an awful lot of work over the last number of years. So from a personal point of view, I'm delighted to see it. So yeah, definitely I'm going to go with him too.
You agree, Alan?
Yeah, no, happy he's been. I think to be honest, he's taken goalkeeping up to another level again, I think, and we thought that would be hard to surpass Stephen Cluxton. And I wouldn't say he's had a bigger impact or is a better goalkeeper than Stephen Cluxton, but he's definitely raising the bar again, and I thought he was exceptional. And he's been, as Colm said, he's been through his fair share of little controversies, and he's made lots of mistakes over the years and stuff. He can be a little bit petulant at times, but he looks a real leader in that team, and I really enjoyed his performances all summer, to be honest.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching him. So that's it, Niall Morgan, performance of the weekend, and that's it from us. Tyrone are All-Ireland champions and fully deserving All-Ireland champions. Nobody's going to agree or nobody's going to disagree with that, and we kind of believe Colm Kavanagh when he said he's happy with his decision, but the jury's out. I have to say, Colm Kavanagh, first time I saw him drinking a cup of coffee this morning, he's not clean shaven, so, like, I mean, you've definitely enjoyed the celebrations, Colm.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say the lads will be enjoying it for another couple of days. It's been a long time coming for these lads, especially. There's a lot of me through the mill for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, so they'll definitely enjoy it, and it'll be good days in Tyrone for the next few months, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's it. Right, we'll leave it for there. We'll talk to you again. Good luck.
But this little dink ball, the only one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the way it is taken over, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest.
Why do you not do many interviews?
Oh, really? I wasn't being asked to do a whole pile.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
And they're roaring at me, "I Cuffrey, you Free State bastard." And next thing I hear, "You have no fucking jurisdiction up here."
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.